Out of view, Aaliyah stood naked on the balcony of a palace annex at the far edge of the city. The sun was setting on the horizon, throwing long shadows across the rock escarpments. On the sands below, young Fremen women whirled and chanted, their hair flying loose and free. The traditional marriage dances were underway. Behind her, Duncan Idaho lay on the bed they had recently begun to share. She and Duncan had just made love, a passionate release of their anxious energies as they waited and waited for the time of the ceremony. He was her first physical lover, though she remembered plenty of others in her deep layers of memories. All day long, crowds of onlookers had gathered at the edge of the city and spilled out onto the sands. Weaving their way through the throngs, vendors hawked memorabilia bearing the faces of the bride and groom, and Aaliyah's government would receive its percentage of it all. A number of viewing stands had been erected for the visiting dignitaries of various houses, Chom, the Landsrod, the Spacing Guild, the Bene Gesserit, and the Kieseret. Each important personage would receive his own memorabilia, inscribed and authenticated. As both the sister of Muad'Dib and regent of the Imperium, Aaliyah had designed her wedding to combine Fremen and Imperial elements in a hybrid ceremony. She and Duncan had gone over the details that would combine vows from both traditions. Far out on the dunes, the two of them would be wed under the double moonlight. At least, that was what the people would see and hear. Their preparations would make the illusion perfect. To the left of the bed stood a black plaz cubicle with a sealed door, one of the new technologies that the Ixion Confederation had recently given her, hoping to buy their way back into her good graces. Because of the usual death threats that hovered around her, Aaliyah was increasingly resorting to technological security measures. Her mother and Gurney had thwarted Isbar's plot to kill them during the wedding. Aaliyah knew of the deadly conspiracies that had sprung up around Paul, and Irulan had once told her stories about the countless plots, conspiracies, and assassination attempts Shaddam IV had faced on Catane. What is it about human beings that they invariably develop hatred toward their leaders? Just yesterday, Kizara security had seized a lunatic in the streets, shouting that the wedding was an unholy alliance of Bene Gesserit Abomination and Tlilaxu Gola. Under interrogation, the man had implicated others and provided credible evidence that there were deeper plots afoot against Aaliyah and Duncan. But the man himself had been an inept fool and had never posed much of a threat. She worried more about the quiet, well-concealed plots, conspirators who were not so foolish as to shout out their anger in the streets of Arakeen. She would have liked to blame all the threats on Bronso of Ix, but she had never been his target, though many others had resentments against her. For her purposes, however, Bronso provided a convenient focal point, and she could use his reputation to turn the tables and incite a backlash against critics of the regime. She had already taken steps to exploit the situation, secretly writing her own counterfeit manifesto that would be released immediately after the wedding, under Bronso's name. Adaptation was a Bene Gesserit strength, one to which she had been born. Her brother had changed the human race forever, but Aaliyah would take her place in history as well, since Paul had left her to pick up the pieces and arrange them as she saw fit. If she could make the Imperium strong and enduring, historians might even elevate her above the stature of Muad'Dib. For her, it was a matter of diminishing Paul's memory in calculated ways while brightening her own accomplishments. She would stand on his shoulders and benefit from his victories. In honor of her wedding day, Aaliyah had ordered the temporary cessation of all torturings and executions. In addition, one fortunate prisoner would be exonerated each day based upon a public drawing to be held outside the main prison, and Duncan had been giving away valuable gifts to hundreds of lucky citizens selected at random to demonstrate imperial largesse. Stepping away from the slanted dusk light on the balcony, Aaliyah turned to see Duncan dressing in front of a mirror, putting on green uniform trousers and a black jacket that bore the red hawk crest of House Atreides. He was always precise, the result of the original Duncan's swordmaster training and years of military service to House Atreides. She closed the plaza doors behind her and activated the moisture seals, shutting off noises from the crowd outside. With a tingly feeling of anticipation, Aaliyah put on a black velvet silk dress that had the cut of a Fremen robe, but with the materials, fittings, and resplendent jewels of a noble lady. She braided her hair with water rings and wore a white pearline necklace, the perfect combination of Fremen and Imperial elements. She also put on a satisfied smile. When sunset faded into darkness, multicolored lights played across the sands and the windows of the palace annex. Duncan stood at a viewing scope on one wall, and Aaliyah joined him so that they could observe the crowd. While the couple watched from behind the walls of Aaliyah's high bedroom, her Amazon guards marched out onto the sands and took their stations to guard the participants and guests. Enhancing the magnification, she spotted a black-robed Sayyidina, along with a Kizara priest in a yellow robe, standing in a pool of light at the crest of the dune. Everyone was waiting for her and Duncan to arrive. She squeezed his hand and led him to the black plaz cubicle at the back of the room. "Shall we make our appearance?" The two of them stepped inside the booth. The cubicle door shut, and the golden lights of scanners and imagers bathed them. Abruptly, out in the desert, Aaliyah seemed to be standing on the dune top with Duncan, but they were merely Solido holo projections, unbeknownst to onlookers. Aaliyah and her husband-to-be seemed to emerge out of nowhere, like a miracle or a stage trick. No one in the audience would believe the two were not actually present. Even if an assassination attempt occurred now, neither of them was at risk. Aaliyah had studied the details of the ceremony so many times that she barely noticed as the Kizara spoke in Chikobsa, following traditions as old as the Zen-Sunni wanderers who were the forebears of the Fremen, while the Sayyidina spoke afterward in flowery ancient Galak, using words that had once been uttered by priests of Dur in royal wedding ceremonies, before their recent fall from grace. The perfect projected images of Aaliyah and Duncan uttered the responses they had memorized, received the blessings of the two officials, and kissed to a roar of approval from the population of Arakeen. Then the two newlyweds glided off onto the sands. Miraculously leaving no footprints, they vanished into dune shadows, bound for their secret honeymoon destination. When it was over and the two of them stepped out of the projection booth and found themselves back in the suite, Duncan produced actual wedding rings from a pocket of his jacket. Blushing almost shyly, they slid the bands on each other's fingers. Duncan was such a traditionalist. Smiling at him, feeling the warmth of genuine though unfamiliar emotions, Aaliyah said, "It all happened so fast. I turned my head. And we were married." "You turned my head some time ago," he said, and folded her into his embrace.